The 0-2, and it's strike three called. Throws him with a fastball. Julio Urias gets the last seven in a row, and the Los Angeles Dodgers have won the World Series.
Even in the moment, it's gun-wrenching. You know, you don't know what to do. You want that man beside you. You know, I've played a lot of games beside him. We've done a lot on this field, and to not be able to have him there and finish it and to be able to accomplish what we did, you know, that hurts. It hurts a lot.
All right, Ziggy, there's nothing better than on a Wednesday morning coming into work and having discussions with multiple people about where exactly we should start. So There is so much to get to from that World Series game last night. The LA Dodgers, world champions for the first time in 32 years. But the biggest point we need to debate right out of the gate was after the game was the commissioner.
Wrong. We learned during the game that...
Was Rob Manfred drunk?
We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Yeah. That was Rob Manfred explaining Justin Turner's positive COVID test and that he was taken out in the eighth inning. Wait, can we just play that entirety one more time?
We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Oh. Yeah, he's drunk.
How do you get drunk when you know you got to hand out that piece of metal to
maybe
potentially hand out that piece of metal after the game if the Dodgers win?
I would love to hear an interview with him. He probably would have said something like, I didn't think they'd take Snell out.
I was just going to say maybe he was 18 Miller Lights deep by the fifth inning because he figured Blake Snell was going to throw a complete game shutout and the Rays were going to win and we were going to be on to game seven tonight.
What else could it be? I mean, I don't know what he's on. Yeah, he's definitely not his usual self.
Well, our colleague.
I mean, how often do we actually get to hear him? I mean, this year with the pandemic, we hear him talk, but it's not often you get to hear commissioners talk. I mean, maybe he was just a little off. Maybe he wasn't feeling well, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's drunk.
Okay, but when you've had a fever or a cold, you sound stuffed up. You don't sound like you're dragging your words.
He's excited. He's surprised he was able to hand out a World Series champion this year.
World Series champion. He got to hand over the piece of metal.
He's surprised. He handed out a piece of metal this year.
Yeah, he must have. But I agree with you, Ziggy. I think he had to have, in the fifth or sixth inning before Snell got pulled, been thinking to himself, Blake Snell's got this one under control. I can just tilt him back the rest of the way because my work here is done. My work comes after tomorrow's game. Little did he know that slaves to the algorithm that they are, the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh, Michael, I'm going to call you Michael. Can I call you Michael?
You can do that today.
I can call you Michael.
Yep.
There brings me no greater joy. No greater joy than to watch that decision in the sixth inning with one out and the bottom of the Dodgers order up. The decision to pull Blake Snell, it makes me happy that it blew up in Tampa Bay's face. They are the salary suppressors. Screw them. They are the truest slaves to the algorithm. Screw them. And I am thrilled that the human element played a role in last night's game and blew up the Computron's computations. Beautiful. Beautiful. It works 9 times out of 10, but when that one is game six of the World Series, when you're facing elimination and you got a pitcher on a heater and you come and take him out before the 9-hole hitter steps in, knowing that Mookie Betts is on deck, who Blake Snell has struck out twice already in the game, when you make that move and you pay for it, God bless.
Even Mookie Betts said, I'm happy that he got taken out, but I don't really want to talk about it. Right? Mookie Betts actually said, like, he was surprised that Snell got taken out.
Well, how about Dave Roberts, the manager of the LA Dodgers? He said the same thing.
I was pretty happy because he was dominating us and we just weren't seeing him. So, you know, once Austin got that hit, then they went to the pen. I think that Mookie looked at me with a little smile and we were just all kind of excited that Snell was out of the game.
It's not got anything to do with pitch count anymore. Blake Snell threw 73 pitches in last night's game. 73
pitches.
It's the
third time through.
48 strikes. Third time through. Forget the fact you've wiped the floor with them the first two times through. You can't send your ace out there for the third time.
Mookie Betts, I was like, whoo, thank you. He was rolling. He was pitching a fantastic game. I'm not exactly sure why he was pulled. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to be happy that we're winners. I was thinking the same thing. Hey, in our group chat between us.
Who?
Our group chat.
Or Ben Ackerton's group chat.
No, not Rob Ackerman's group chat. Oh. Our group chat, I put the clapping emojis when he got pulled. I was happy. And then as soon as the double, the wild pitch, I threw out the other emoji with the hands in the air. Love analytics. But I did throw the clapping emojis. When he got pulled, I didn't think literally this was going to be a 1-0 game. Like this, it was, I conceded it. I was like, game seven.
What?
There's no possible way they would pull him. I was actually leaning. I was like, this was the game. They're not going to do it. But here's my thing, Scotty. Don't come here and get mad and all upset that Snell got pulled if you weren't mad when it happened. Everybody, when he got pulled, I didn't hear anything. I didn't read any tweets.
What do you mean you didn't hear? How could you not have heard
anything?
Nothing.
Who? All the people that are complaining about this complained after the double and after the run scored. People weren't upset when it happened. I'm on Twitter reading everything. Not many people were upset. As soon as they lose, yeah, now it's analytics. Get mad when he gets pulled. Don't get mad after.
Well,
that's my only thing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was stupid, and I still do, that Matt Shoemaker was pulled after three innings of game one for the Blue Jays. I think what happened last night with Blake Snell was stupid, and I'm thrilled it happened to the salary-suppressing Tampa Bay Rays. And they don't care about Blake Snell's feelings because they're going to trade him in 2 years. I mean, he signed a long-term contract with them through 2023, but he's owed $16-some million in the final year of that deal. That is very, very tradable for a pitcher of that quality. They've got him for 2 more years. I guarantee you, he signed for 3 more years. I guarantee you he's gone after 2. Tampa Bay will trade him before the 2023 season. So they're not cared about. They don't care about long-term relationship with Blake Snell or how he may feel. They were going to go with the plan. There was to be no changing of that plan, no gut feel reaction to that plan saying, man, we got a guy who's shoving it tonight. And what are you saving Blake Snell for? He's not going to pitch in game seven.
Well, they're not safe. All this can be put to rest now. It's like, it's not got nothing to do with the pitch count, has nothing to do about being rested. This is about third time through. You're not going to see them no matter what.
Then they don't have an ace.
That's what it is.
Then they don't have an ace. And Blake Snell is an ace. Yeah. Is an
but the
ace
thing is,
on 29 teams, but not on that one.
Cash and the Rays.
It's not Cash's fault.
They got there to the World Series to game six on this game plan. It's hard. It's really hard for me to come on this morning and get absolutely mad at it. I think it's tragic. I chuckle at it. I still can't believe they did it, but that's how they got to game six of the World Series. How mad can you get at Cash? And how bad can you can't get mad at them.
Okay, but there have been times, Ziggy, there have been times where Blake Snell has been pulled with a couple of outs in the fourth inning or one out in the fifth. And you look at his pitch count and it's up near 100, and he hasn't been dominant. There've been a lot of three ball counts, full counts, deep at bats, pitches fouled off. He wasn't getting the swing and miss. He was getting the swing and miss last night. He had those guys crossed up. Mookie Betts was hopeless in each of his first two at bats. Mookie Betts right now is right there with Mike Trout as the best player in baseball. Blake Snell was dominant. And yes, I am now, and I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to repeat it right now. I now understand at the ripe old age of 41, I'm not in a diaper yet, but I am 41. I'm a man. I'm 41. I am old enough to remember, for example, Game 7 of the 1991 World Series, I was 12 years old, when Jack Morris of the Minnesota Twins, just before he signed as a free agent to come to the Blue Jays and help them win the 92 and 93 World Series, Jack Morris went 10 innings. John Smoltz shoved for the Braves, and the Minnesota Twins walked it off on a Gene Larkin single in the bottom of the 10th, a 1-0 game. Jack Morris didn't face him once, twice, or three times. He faced him four times that night. Jack Morris was on a heater that night. Jack Morris was red hot that night. How do you look at Blake Snell? If Blake Snell hasn't hit the 100 pitch count all season long, then that is probably the bar off of which you work. But if I'm Kevin Cash and I'm in that dugout, I should have. And I'm not blaming Cash. I say it's far easier for him to fail and follow the plan like he did, because his bosses won't question him, than it is for him to succeed by diverting from the plan. Because the response he'll get would be, you should be glad that worked out. You should be glad that worked out, because that's not how we drew it up. But how can you not look at Blake Snell and say he's at 73 pitches, he's been absolutely dominant, he's made Mookie Betts look silly his first two times up. We're going to ride this guy until we get him to about 100 or 105 pitches. And if that's with two outs in the seventh, if that's with one out in the eighth, if he can get us all the way to the ninth inning, whatever. But we're rolling with this guy until, A, the pitch count gets prohibitive because he hasn't gone that far at any point this season, or two, he starts to show signs of trouble. You should be allowed to make human decisions. You should be allowed to divert from the plan when it is so clearly apparent that a guy is going. And if he gives up a solo home run or a two-run home run, then you quickly pivot or whatever. If he starts to show signs of fatigue. But Blake Snell wasn't showing any signs of any of those things when he was lifted from the game.
There was a handful of tweets yesterday that I've thought a lot about this when analytics started to come into baseball, like Moneyball. What year was that? Athletics.
Well, the 2001 team.
20
was
years.
Strong.
Good.
2002 team had a 20-plus game winning streak.
About 20 years ago. We'll just go with that. And I liked that. I liked what they looked for, but crafting a team around it and throwing everything out the door, I didn't like. But the numbers they went after, I always loved how it was. They figured out what formula actually helped you win. I really do. But basing every decision off it, I didn't like. And I was, you know, you're watching that movie, and you obviously watch Oakland. It didn't obviously turn out well. They didn't win, right?
They had a couple of 100 win seasons. They didn't win. And what that movie did was it made a legend out of Scott Hatterberg and completely and totally ignored Tim Hudson, Mark Mulder, and Barry Zito, the three stud starting pitchers Oakland had that carried that team. Now, Tampa Bay, is it doing it a little differently? They've got a lot of fireballers in the bullpen, so they start a guy or they open with a guy and have a bulk guy and then go to their fireballers at the end of the game. They're doing it from a pitching perspective a little different than that Oakland team, but all of this is built around plus pitching. And Blake Snell wasn't a plus pitcher last night. He was a plus, 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 plus pitcher.
And where I'm going with this, though, Scotty, is that if you're just going to do it off analytics, why have anybody there? Why watch the game? Why watch it? And I'm thinking how ridiculous that sounds. And I'm reading it over and over again. It was on Twitter. I've had this conversation with friends of mine. And they're right. Why watch the game? Why have a man? Why have a manager? Do you know what I mean? I don't. What's the purpose? If you're going to go all off analytics, why even have anyone there?
Well, you have to have a body there. And you know,
just have some computer there in the dugout.
Could you imagine?
But you already know. Why would you need anybody?
Could you imagine?
You already know. You're like, you're not going through the third. As soon as the third, you go up against a batter the third time, you're out. Why can't the pitcher just leave the game?
There would be nothing better, because in football, obviously, Microsoft Surface is sponsoring all of the tablets on the sidelines that the players and coaches look at all the plays, right? You see that all the time. The quarterback sitting on the bench with his offensive coordinator scrolling through the tablet. Maybe that could be Apple's counter. Just prop an iPad on the seat in the dugout. Or on the top step of the dugout. Just prop an iPad up there.
You have your bullpen. You know who's going to go up. You have your guy. I mean, that's the only thing. You have to decide what reliever you want in. Why would you need a manager? You need a manager to figure out who was coming in.
No, you know what you need a manager for, Ziggy? You know what you need a manager for? You need a manager so that you can remain faceless up in your luxury suite watching the game, and he can sit there and answer for what your computer spit out. That's what a manager does.
So you think whose decision do you think it is with Tampa Bay on how long to keep their starting pitcher in? You think this is more general manager, president, management than coaching?
I think it is the head of baseball operations final call, but I think there are somewhere between 5 and 240 people, most of them analytics interns, who are offering input.
How about the numbers on Snell, though, when he does go into like the sixth inning, or he does go through the third
Ziggy
time through? But I'm just asking you.
I'm not defending this.
I'm just asking you.
What
if those numbers are through the roof, which they are with Snell? Like his ERA is way lower first two times through the batting order than it is. Once it hits the third, it's through the roof. It's noticeably different.
Yes. And so how do you counter that? You have an arm ready in the bullpen. You have somebody ready so that if, for example, and I don't know. I mean, we'll never know now, because everything that didn't happen is a hypothetical. Everything that didn't happen is a hypothetical. But if Austin Barnes, the nine hitter, gets a hit with one out in the sixth inning off of Blake Snell, and that brings up Mookie Betts, and you have Nick Anderson ready, and you say, well, we're up 1-0, we got a runner on first, that's the tying run, and Mookie Betts, one of the best players in baseball, is coming up, and he's the go-ahead run if he hits a home run, and he's seen Snell twice, and yes, he struck out twice, but we want to change the look. We want to go left to right by bringing in Nick Anderson, and we want to go fireball 98, 99, 100. Change the eye level, change the look, change the velocity, the approach for Mookie Betts. Maybe you make that argument. Maybe he was pulled one hitter too soon in a scenario like the one that I gave out. But you have arms ready in the bullpen, you have them warmed up, and the moment you see a sign of trouble, that's when you make the switch. But mm-hmm. He was showing no signs. No signs. And that's Blake what Snell's- these guys are now. These guys are 4-5-inning guys. Okay. Blake Snell's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's reduced to a 4 or 5-inning guy in an elimination game. All right.
His numbers were 5 1/3 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 2 hits, no walks, a game score rating of 69. I don't know much about the game score. You probably know more about that than I do. I don't know much about that, but that's the best World Series score by a pitcher who didn't reach 6 innings pitched. I don't know much about the. Do you know? I don't know any game scores.
Yeah, I've never really tracked win probability and you know, some of the.
So he has the highest of a pitcher that didn't reach six innings, for what it's worth. I mean, at this point, the numbers don't even matter though. Like they don't even matter with how good he was. That's just, you know what I mean?
It's kind of a strange juxtaposition as we sit here and talk, Ziggy, right? Because a lot of the complaints that I've had about baseball, and I'm certainly not alone in this, is that there's just not a lot of action for a lot of the games anymore because it's all velocity obsessed. And so you have a ton of strikeouts. You have some walks with some guys who scatter it around with their high velocity. And every now and then a hitter will run into that velocity and hit it 440 feet the other way for a home run. It's in a lot of ways become a three true outcomes game, strikeout, walk, and home run. Well, the irony last night is that Tampa Bay followed the plan that tends to result in the three true outcome results, and yet we got a little more entertaining baseball as a result of the decision because their bullpen couldn't hold it. And the Dodgers started to have the trolley tracks around the bases. You know, Barnes got a hit, and then Betts doubled, and they got him home. Like, it I don't know. I don't think the Tampa Bay Rays are. I was seeing some opinions out there that the Tampa Bay Rays may think twice about their approach and dial down and dial back on some of their decision-making ways. I don't think that's going to happen at all because I think those guys, those front office people, given their backgrounds, their statistics people, their data people, their algorithm people, it's not really about I got a human being in front of me today who's very clearly having a almost above human day. I don't know how to, an extraterrestrial day. Blake Snell was badass yesterday, right? You know, I'm not looking at that. I'm not looking at his dominance. I'm looking at what the chart spit out, or as Jeff Blair would say, what the computer farted out. I'm looking at that. And I'm going to adhere to that. And I'm going to stick to that. And I'm not going to worry about the result because 9 times out of 10, I trust that the result is going to go my way. And if it's 1 time out of 10 in Game 6 of the World Series that it doesn't go my way, well, then I'll feel my emotions, but I'll shut those down and just say, well, our process was good. And as long as I feel good about the process, I don't have to worry about the results. Okay, that's fine. But I can tell you this, there's no Game 7 of the World Series tonight. And last I checked, since they came into the league in 1998, they may have been to 2, but the Tampa Bay Rays have not won a World Series. And thank God for that. Everybody hates the Yankees and the Dodgers and their big spending ways and loves this Rays team. Should be the opposite.
I don't lean one way or another, whether you want to spend money and you win or you don't spend any money at all and you win. The Rays or the Dodgers, honestly, I could really care less which team, like how big your payroll is and you win. Whatever formula works for your organization and you can get there, no matter how you can get there, good for you. It doesn't bother me either way. I'm happy to see the Dodgers win. Kershaw, I'm happy. What Mookie Betts has done, incredible, right?
Great play.
I think that's getting lost, what he's done. Two different organizations early in his career. Like, it's incredible. I think that just gets, that got a little bit lost in the shuffle.
Who's wearing number 50 for the Red Sox next year? It ain't Mookie Betts. And it ain't going to be Mookie Betts for at least the next 12 years.
I think he's the best player in baseball.
It's him and Trout. Sorry. It's him and Trout.
Yeah, it's not Trout. It's Mookie Betts. I'm sorry. I know we can discuss later in the show or later in the week how you decide who the best in baseball is, because I think it's different than every other sport. I think Trout's in a, he doesn't have the opportunities in the playoffs that Betts has already had, but Mookie Betts, I'm telling you, he's the guy. And what he did got lost in the shuffle a little bit with polling Snell, and he was great yesterday. great in the World Series, great in the playoffs. Just amazing. He's a playoff performer.
Kevin Cash on his decision to take out Blake Snell.
Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions.
And Blake Snell on being lifted in the sixth.
Cash is a hell of a manager. We can't take that away from him. I mean, if Nick gets out of the jam like he usually does and our bullpen holds it down like they usually do, no one's talking about it. So at the end of the day, I see both sides. But just me and the way that, you know, I felt that game and what he was able to see during that game, I don't want to be taken out of that game. I mean, I don't like being taken out of any game, honestly.
The Tampa Bay Rays, well, they made our morning, but they don't qualify for the $100 McDonald's gift card. You can, though. The text of the morning, the text that makes our morning to 590-590 will receive a $100 gift card. And I should clarify that and say the human who made the text to 590-590 will get the $100 gift card. I know that the Tampa Bay Rays have reduced us all to robots, but it is the human who will get the $100 McDonald's gift card for the text, not the text itself. If you make our morning, we'll give you $100 at McDonald's. We'll make the announcement at about 8:50. Kevin Barker at 7:30. What did he make of the Rays' strategy last night? We haven't even gotten to the Justin Turner positive COVID test. He got lifted from the game in the eighth inning. And then when they won the World Series, he was back on the field, taking off the mask and sitting there for the team photo. He had to be in the team photo, right? But
they knew before the game.
I know they did. Well, they knew very early in the game at the latest. At the latest. And where would we be heading into a game seven tonight if there was one with this positive test? Because Turner would have been around his teammates and around some Rays players and coaches over there at third base. Lots of interesting hypotheticals with that. Adnan Virk will be along in the program as well. Hugh is into studio and we will burrow the lead next. Just got off the phone with the Tampa Bay Rays front office, and they confirmed that our algorithm is correct. $200 in Nantucket gift cards are up for grabs yesterday.
Very good.
The person who was our contestant yesterday ended up with a less than 50-50 chance of winning, and, well, they didn't win.
We had to pull them.
Yeah, we had to pull them. I'm trying to extend the analogy, and I'm like, no, that hit a wall.
Yeah.
And that went over like a lead balloon. Thanks for trying to bail me out, though, Hugh. It's bright and early in the morning.
I got you.
We'll play All or Nothing in about 15 minutes, so be listening for your cue to call. You could be the contestant to try to win $200 in Nantucket gift cards. Kevin Barker, Adnan Virk later on in the program. We're all over the Dodgers World Series championship, beating the Rays last night. And the controversy in that game, there was more than one of them. Here's Hugh to burl the lead.
Yeah, boys, it really is the only story today. So we have lots of audio to get through here. So strap in. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Well, the last time the Dodgers won the World Series, Ronald Reagan was president. Parachute pants were still a thing. And I still had hair. I know, shocking. The year was 1988. The 32-year drought came to an end last night, and it ended in Espanol.
Viene Julio hacia el home. Los Dodgers son campeones. Los Dodgers son campeones de la Serie Mundial. Urias entró valiente, cerró el juego y ganan la Serie Mundial del 2020. Los Dodgers de Los Ángeles. Esta imagen le dice mucho más que mil palabras.
Which is to say the Dodgers are World Series champions.
And analytics are the Diablo.
That's right. Ooh, El Diablo. The Dodgers beat the Rays 3-1 to give L.A. its second major sports title in 16 days. The Lakers won the NBA crown on October 11th. There are a number of things to discuss from this game. We begin with this. Bottom of the sixth, Austin Barnes singles for just the second Dodgers hit of the night. And despite striking out 9 through 5 1/3, Rays starter Blake Snell was given the hook by manager Kevin Cash in a jaw-dropping, surprising, bizarre, bewildering, strange, analytics-driven decision. Post-game, Snell wasn't happy.
For most of that game, man, I was dominating every outcome possible. So I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
So, Kevin Cash, do you regret the decision?
Yeah, I guess I regret it because it didn't work out. But I feel like the thought process was right. I mean, every decision that's made, that end result has a pretty, you know, weighing factor in how you feel about it. If we had to do it over again, I would have the utmost confidence in Nick Anderson to get through that inning.
Even the Dodgers were surprised that Snell was given the hook. Surprised but happy, right, Mookie Betts?
I was like, whew, thank you. He was rolling. You know, he was pitching a fantastic game. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure why, and I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to be happy that we're winners.
So Cash yanked him because he didn't want Snell to face Betts a third time. Well, Betts had struck out in his previous two at-bats against Snell. Now, you guys, you know, drilled down in this pretty good in the first bit of the show. But for people who maybe missed that, your reaction to the decision to pull Blake Snell, who was in full control of this game.
Exact same reaction as I had when Matt Shoemaker was pulled after 3 innings by the Blue Jays in the first game of their two-game series with Tampa Bay. You have a pitcher who looks really good, a starting pitcher, and Snell more than Shoemaker. Blake Snell is an ace. There are a lot of teams, including the Tampa Bay Rays, on which Blake Snell would be their ace, their opening day starter, their every fifth day guy. There's a reason he's a plus pitcher. He's got good stuff. He had the Dodgers crossed up all evening. I have bullets in my chamber. I have arms warmed up in the bullpen. I have guys ready in case trouble comes, right? If Betts backs up Barnes with a single and it's now first and second, you got to make some considerations. I have guys ready, but I'm giving my starting pitcher the opportunity. We'll never see another start like Jack Morris in the 1991 World Series, Game 7.
You went 10 innings.
You went 10 innings. Yeah. And a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
Guys are capable of doing that when they have really, really good games. How many times did Jack Morris throw a 10-inning shutout in his career? I'm going to guess that was the one time.
Then again, Jack Morris scared the hell out of the manager. I mean, I'm not going out there to pull Jack Morris.
Well,
okay, so here's a question to both of you guys. Have we become paralyzed by analytics? And have analytics taken the human quality out of professional sports, the human equation?
I won't blame the analytics. I would blame the front office people who require that of their managers. You're not hiring a manager now because you think he's a really good baseball guy who makes good decisions. You're hiring somebody who is agreeable, and who will be the public face, the guy who explains the decisions that get made. It wasn't Kevin Cash who went and pulled Blake Snell. No. It was the team that went and pulled Blake Snell. The pitching coach could have gone out there and done it. Blake Snell can say what he wants about it. Kevin Cash is the one who's got to offer up the explanation. Everybody says Kevin Cash can't manage. Kevin Cash, a great manager, especially for this day and age. He's willing to go along with the plan. He has input into the plan, but he doesn't determine the finality of said plan.
Great manager, but maybe not anymore. Maybe not for the way the game has changed now. I mean, because he doesn't get a chance to be a great manager.
Or who does?
What is he managing?
Who does?
Like Ziggy was saying earlier, right, Ziggy? You're talking about, why do we even need a manager now? You just have all these algorithms and flow charts for every possible situation, right?
Yeah, with the analytics, to the question of you, it's analytics should be part of your stats and analytics should be part of your game plan. I don't think it should be the game plan. Like, I don't think you should.
Yeah, they're a tool, right?
Yeah, I don't think you should. Exactly. It's a tool. You shouldn't restrict coaching or managing a game based solely on them. I think you can get into trouble, and we've seen it. We've seen it in baseball, which I think if you had to rely and base your decisions on analytics, I think it makes the most sense out of any sport. But as we've seen in the past, and we've seen this year, and what we witnessed last night, it just doesn't work all the time. This is from experience. We have analytics on UFT, our team, men's hockey team. We have analytics on every guy who plays well on a Friday game, on a Saturday game, on a weekday game. We know who plays well together. We have all of that. But once the game starts, there's feel to it. We have all our information, but sometimes on feel, we put different players in at different times based on how they're playing that game. And that's the mistake I think a lot of sports and teams are making, is that they're taking that right out of it. And that I don't believe in. But are analytics good for you? Should you use them? Absolutely.
Of course, yes. And that's not the debate. Analytics, though, they're predictors over a larger sample size. And yes, the way that you get to a larger sample size is that you have individual games that on their own are small sample sizes, but that put together add up to a larger sample size.
They're probabilities. That's exactly what they are. That's all they are.
So if we look at it as, well, over the larger scheme of things, last night's Rays decision would work out more often than it didn't, you hold that opinion. If we look at it and say last night's game was a small sample size because it's a game that stood on its own, as all games do individually, well, anything can happen. And man, did Blake Snell look pretty good last night.
Yeah. So here, if I'm Kevin Cash, I leave him in there. And if it blows up in my face and the ink stained wretches ask me after the game, I'm going to say, well, I had faith in my guy because he was really, really good and it just didn't work out. Now he's got to field questions about all of this stuff, a slave to the numbers, the analytics and stuff. Well, I would rather defend a decision to leave a human in there because I trusted him.
But he doesn't care about the ink-stained wretches, Hugh. What he cares about is answering to the front office.
Yeah.
And the front office, if the adhered to and agreed to process was seen through, regardless of result, they'll be fine with it. If you go off the board and you keep Snell in and Betts hits a two-run home run, you got some answering to do.
Oh, you lose your job because you had faith in your ace.
Not to Johnny or Jill.
It got them there, though.
Inkstein.
Yeah. It got them there.
Yeah.
Guys, it got them to game six. This is my issue with saying, well, just leave him in. It got the Tampa Bay Rays with the lowest payroll to the third lowest or whatever you want to, wherever they finish at the bottom of the payroll, it got them to game six of the World Series.
Yep.
It's hard to go after a team for that. It really is.
But in the biggest moment of the season, they became a slave to it and they lost. Let's fast forward to the eighth inning, shall we? Dodgers' Justin Turner doesn't run out onto the field to take up his usual third base position. Why not? Well, a few minutes before, Turner received word from Major League Baseball that a COVID-19 test taken earlier in the day had come back positive after an earlier test was found to be inconclusive the day before. World Series MVP Corey Seager said it was tough celebrating without a guy they'd gone to war with.
Even in the moment, it's gun-wrenching. You know, you don't know what to do. You want that man beside you. You know, I've played a lot of games beside him. We've done a lot on this field, and to not be able to have him there and finish it and to be able to accomplish what we did, you know, that hurts. It hurts a lot.
Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred explained after the game the decision to remove Turner from the game.
It's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get the season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Hugh, did you slow the reel down?
I did not.
Are you doctoring
the reel down?
Are you sure
down?
That's that's real time. Like,
that
that's
is
not
real.
There's a problem with the tape.
I think Hugh doctored the algorithm.
No, I had nothing to do with that. Now,
I'm questioning this now.
Setting aside the slurred speech and the speculation that maybe Bobby Mann had a few drinks.
That's just a piece of metal.
It's just a piece of metal. Turner, despite what Manfred said, Turner did not isolate. In fact, there's plenty of video and still photos showing Turner on the field celebrating with teammates, mask off. Turner's positive test comes just 4 days after MLB announced it had gone 54 consecutive days without such a result. Now, I know that everyone has to isolate, and COVID-19 is a very, very, very serious problem, but we got to let the guy celebrate, don't we? Got to let him celebrate. Was this Russia? Come on, man.
Did Manfred say they knew before the game? Did he not say that? We knew before the game?
No, there was a test before the game, but they tested him previously the day before. That was inconclusive. They ran a PCR test yesterday, like a rapid response test yesterday, and it came back during the game. From what
I have a hard time believing that during the game.
From what we
understand.
What's
the point?
Well, what's the point of leaving the guy in until the eighth inning and then yanking him? I mean, if you knew before the game, he wouldn't start, would he?
How do you know that? I think he would have started. I think they left. I think that you leave them in. If you're baseball, you're not going to start pulling players. Same thing Scotty said earlier. There's a game seven. Are they going to just cancel game seven? Are they just going to forfeit game seven?
Oh, well, man, they're in a tough look. If they had a game tonight to play, because you'd have Dodgers players who'd been exposed to Justin Turner, been near him, raised players at third base, the third base coach.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many players.
Catcher when he's in the batter's box.
Yeah, but what are you going to say? If I'm on the Dodgers and you say, well, somebody got exposed, we shouldn't be playing game seven. I'm playing it. I mean, say what you want about it.
But that contravenes the COVID-19 protocol set down by the government.
As a professional athlete, I'd love for you to find somebody that would say, I don't think I should play a game seven.
Speaking of, what's David Price thinking today? He opted out, right?
I think he's at peace with it.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, I don't know. He won the World Series.
I don't know about that.
He won the World Series.
I think he sees his buddy celebrating last night.
Well, there's a bit of FOMO happening for him. I don't doubt that. But, I mean, you play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know that you're playing for the best or one of the best teams in baseball at the start of the season. They didn't sneak up on everybody and win this World Series.
No, no, no.
You knew you were going to the playoffs.
The team that most people expected to win the World Series won the World Series.
And I do think it helps from Price's perspective the fact that he won a World Series with Boston. Yeah.
So he does get a ring?
He has a ring with the Red Sox.
Will he get a ring, you think?
Good question.
Nah, the team will probably throw him a ring. So a lot of questions surrounding this and the flippant attitude toward COVID-19 by Major League Baseball. How are the rest of us supposed to adhere to protocols when we see our heroes, our athletic heroes, flaunting them?
I love how they're still your heroes.
The post-game stuff, I'm not totally on board with that. But the plane, I mean, are you guys not going to play in Game 7?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll have that debate. Yeah. We at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590. Is it $100 or $200 today? I can never remember. It's $200 today? It's $200 today. All right, the Untuckit gift cards are out. Three true or false questions for all or nothing. And we want you to be our contestant. Dial up now, 416-870-0590. We play next. You know the game, all or nothing. Three true or false questions. Get them all right or all wrong. So if you get the first one wrong, don't hang up. You just got to get numbers 2 and 3 intentionally incorrect as well. $200 in Untuckit gift cards are up for grabs today for Jason in Toronto. Hello, Jason.
How's it going?
We're doing well, and we wish you the best of luck. Ziggy's got question number one for you.
A couple of wide receivers in the news for joining new teams in the NFL. Antonio Brown is now in the Bucs, and Dez Bryant has joined my Ravens flock.
Oh God.
True or false?
True.
That is correct.
All right. You're in good shape,
Ravens
Jason.
Ravens flock.
No, yeah, no, it's hashtag Ravens flock.
Oh, you sorry.
Stop. Got to get the little logo on there when you tweet about it. All right, you're in good shape, Jason. Get the next two correct, and $200 in Nantucket gift cards are yours.
All right, Jason, the other kind of football. Ronaldo will miss a Champions League game due to COVID-19. Ronaldo is currently playing for AC Milan. Is that true or is that false?
False.
Yeah, that's. Was that a guess? Was that a guess?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. It was doesn't a good
matter.
Guess.
Doesn't matter if you guess or not, course, as long as you spit out the right
That's
word.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, is with Juventus.
Right. And, I mean, based on the algorithms that the Tampa Bay Rays front office told me, it's 50-50. 50-50. That's what you're doing with a guess. All right, a little baseball history for you, Jason. I hope that you know it. On this day in 1995... Atlanta beat Cleveland 1-0 in Game 6 of the 95 World Series to win the Braves franchise's third World Series title. However, it was, and to date is, the only World Series championship the Braves franchise has won in Atlanta. True or false?
True.
Good man. He knows his stuff. Congratulations, Jason. The Boston Braves won a World Series once. They then became the Milwaukee Braves, and the Milwaukee Braves have a World Series title. The Atlanta Braves in 1995 brought home the franchise's third World Championship. Jason in Toronto, you win $200 in Nantucket gift cards. That means we'll reset the number. $100 in Nantucket gift cards up for grabs this time tomorrow morning when we play All or Nothing. Kevin Barker, next hour, will get his thoughts on the Kevin Cash decision, on the Justin Turner positive COVID test, and on Rob Manfred's apparent habits during yesterday's game. All ahead. Justin Turner? Or?
We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
What are you supposed to do, though? Like, what are you supposed to do in that situation? You pull him and he's out of the ballpark? What do you do?
I mean, at that point, it's... He can't stay in the game. Optically, it becomes a disaster, right?
Besides for optically, what do you do?
Well,
Do you kick him out of the stadium?
Well, where do you send him? I mean, he's been in the bubble for 3 or 4 weeks since they got to...
Do you send him to a hotel? After the 8th, out of the clubhouse, you're out of here.
Guy with a positive test to the hotel. You mask him up and you say, go to
the hotel.
And you send him to his room and you say, don't come out until we say it's okay.
I mean, that's the thing to do, but how do you do that to a guy who just won the World Series? I know. Hey,
Ziggy, I'm telling you.
I'm going to get roasted. I'm going to get roasted either way, but I don't know what to say.
I'm telling you this. They are really fortunate. Two things. that this didn't happen prior to an elimination game, because then there would be a decision that would have to be made on what happens with the next game. And they're also fortunate that, I mean, effectively, it took this long for something like this to happen. My question is he's been in the bubble for 3 or 4 weeks. How the hell did he get COVID? Is it a false positive? How the hell did he get it?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, he's been in the bubble. They were not bubbled during the regular season. They quarantined for the final week of the regular season, the playoff-bound teams. They were continually tested. They all were clean. They got into the bubble. Nothing is supposed to get into the bubble. And the key word in that sentence is supposed.
Not one player in the NBA or NHL got COVID in a bubble. And then all of a sudden in baseball, somebody gets COVID. Correct?
Yes.
It's strange. I'm with you on it.
I mean, he was in the bubble. Did somebody
looks like if I had to pick somebody though,
Justin Turner
looks like he looked like he's can have some fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Justin he Turner looks like Tim fun. Leeper did 20 years ago.
He looks like he could have some fun. Like if I had to choose one guy, okay, outside of Mookie Betts, and Kershaw. Okay, if I had to choose one guy.
Outside of Betts and Kershaw and Bellinger.
No, just those two guys. Just Muncy those two guys. And no.
Okay, Taylor.
Besides
and
for Betts and
Seager
Kershaw, if I had to.
Will Smith. If
I had to choose one guy to go and party with, it would be Turner.
The Raging Ginger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Either team. He's my first guy.
Justin
I'm going
Turner
with.
And Dustin May. Just living it up. Living it up. Justin Turner. I'm telling you, Justin Turner does look like Tim Leeper 20 years ago.
Really?
And you know Leap would be a lot of fun. You could tilt a few back with Leap. Leap's going to co-host tomorrow because you got to get your pinky fixed.
I might call in. As long as I can keep my cell phone on me, I will come on the show tomorrow. I'll do a call in.
What time is your hand surgery tomorrow, Ziggy?
I find out today.
Okay.
They call me and give me a specific time to show up. But if I'm in late, I'll call in.
Can you call in the moment you take the sedative?
We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Can you call in when you sound like that?
I'll call in, but Silent Vic's got to have the mute button ready to go. Just in case, he's got to have the mute button. If he says okay, I'll call in.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
There we go. Okay, he's got the mute. I'll call. Yeah. As long as I can have my... I don't know if I'm going under. I might just have a local one done, like a local anesthetic, so I'm not going to have all the loopy stuff.
Really?
I did my last one with just a local.
Do they position you in the chair in a local anesthetic so that you can't see what's happening? Because I would be morbid enough that I would want to sort of look down and see the bones of my finger all over the table.
I asked 20 years ago when I had my right hand done, I had a similar operation done, to watch. And they let me watch everything from getting the needles going in. And then they start cutting you open, and my heart rate apparently went up, and they had to pull the curtain over. You're just lying on a table with your arm out.
And you can't feel a thing, right? Because it's...
No, well, the worst part about the surgery is clamping your arm. They clamp your arm right before they start, before anything happens. So imagine your arm getting squeezed to the point where it cuts the circulation off, and you can't move it. That's the worst part of the surgery.
So what is exactly, it's a hand surgery, it's on the
hand
pinky
surgery,
finger. What is exactally happening
There's,
for you tomorrow?
I'm just getting some stuff. I had like a bad break, just getting some stuff removed out of it.
Okay.
So broken fingers, just sitting too long. Didn't really take care of them. Years of hockey, just getting some stuff removed, cleaning it up a little. But I'm telling you, nothing is worse than clamping your arm. Nothing.
Well, so, if you're under local anesthetic and you're having surgery, maybe you could use your right hand tomorrow to hold the phone up to your ear during the surgery and call into the show. I think that might would be a commitment little, to your job.
That might be a little bit tough to do, but if I'm like, if I can have my cell phone on, I will call in from the hospital. There you go.
Adam from Tottenham texts into 590-590. How the hell did COVID get through that beauty beard of Justin Turner's?
The COVID was being held. The COVID maybe was in the beard. How long does COVID live in beards? We have any doctors out there listening?
How long does COVID live in beards? This is where we've gotten to. It's day 721 of quarantine, and we need to know how long does COVID live
how did he get
in
it?
Beards?
But it could be on, like, are they bringing, like, are in their bubble, was it as strict as the NBA and NHL? That's what I want to know. We don't hear about the MLB bubble. We don't hear a lot about it. NBA, NHL?
Well, clearly, we know everything. I mean, there were clearly spouses there yesterday. So families got in at some point.
So are they allowed to come and go?
So that, well, I don't know if they're allowed to come and go, but they're allowed to come in at some point. If they go, they certainly aren't. I would imagine they can't be allowed to come back in if they go unless they isolate for a period of time.
What have we heard about the MLB bubble compared to NBA and NHL?
Well,
nothing.
That it started.
We haven't heard anything.
That it started with a week to go in the regular season.
But we haven't heard about it. Like the NBA and NHL, we're looking at the testing stations. We're hearing league officials talk about how tight it is. You're listening to the players talk about it. What have we heard about the MLB? Nothing.
Well,
right? Are
you being conspiratorial? Do you think that there have been shenanigans going? Because they, if,
not really.
If there
I
were
just,
shenanigans, they got
it.
Away with it right up until the end, and then they didn't.
I just haven't heard about it. I haven't seen a testing station. I haven't heard a player talk about it. I haven't heard a thing about it.
I mean, there's got to be a large ass exhale from Rob Manfred. They
I think
fulfilled
he got,
their
honestly,
commitments.
I think he was drinking yesterday because he's like, oh, can you believe I just pulled this off? Can you believe I'm going to have 70 drinks before this one's over?
Yeah, but if he was blasted on the field, I mean, that's not a good look. And this is a guy
it's
who's
not a good look, but he's probably, I bet you he's the most surprised out of anybody that they actually pulled this off in baseball. He's probably the most surprised. Like, he's probably sitting there. Wow, can you believe I just did this?
Well, I would imagine for him it's a huge relief. We fulfilled our television commitments. We got some butts into the seats, not nearly as many as we would in normal times, but we got some butts into the seats. Most importantly, we fulfilled the television commitments. The players got paid on a prorated basis, and now we can sit down and figure out what the heck 2021 is going to look like. But we can't even answer any of those questions right now because where are we going to be in 5 months? So, you know, I think you proceed next season on the assumption of a normal schedule, and hopefully each team gets down to Arizona or gets down to Florida and goes through the process, and we'll see. They pulled it off. They pulled it off. And somehow still the NFL is pulling it off. They've had some scares with the Patriots, with the Titans. The Raiders have had a couple of positive tests. They've been able to jiggle the schedule around to make it work. It's all the tightrope, man. It's Nick Wallenda walking over Niagara Falls 8 years ago or whenever he did that. You're on a tightrope, and you're just hoping for the best. It wasn't a good look that Justin Turner took his mat. I was getting Chris Taylor and Justin Turner screwed up. You know, I screwed that up. It wasn't a good look that he took his mask off for the team photo. But you know, I guess you can't expect guys to be of their full wits in a celebratory moment like that. It was an exciting time.
I want to sit here and, you know, put guys on blast for whatever. But I mean, they just won the world championship. You know what I mean? Like they won the title.
Well,
the
title. The thing is, did he know he had COVID before the game?
That's what I'm
sure. You know, because if he tested positive and knew.
I want to know who knew, what officials knew. You think if it comes out that they knew before the game?
That's going to put the 2017 Astros cheating into perspective.
Bad. No, it'll look bad, but people will forget. We're going to forget about Turner with no mask and being there for the celebrations, quick. Watch. This won't even be an issue. We'll forget about it. And is he kissing his wife or girlfriend after the game too?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah.
Did you see that? Or I just saw it on the TV
right
now. Yeah,
I did see it. Yeah, no, I said, that's what I said. I mean, the spouses were clearly there. So his girlfriend or spouse or wife, I don't know what their relationship is, clearly was in the bubble with him at some point. So you don't know who brought it in. You don't know if it was a Dodgers teammates, family member. It's impossible unless they're tracking and tracing. Maybe they had a sense of who brought it in and got that person out of the bubble ASAP. I mean, there's just so many details. It's hard to know. This could also be a false positive, Ziggy. I mean,
yeah.
There are more questions than answers at this point in time. Now, if you're the governor of California or the mayor of Los Angeles, do you want this baseball team chartering back to celebrate in the streets?
What happens if there's a game seven and six players or five players test positive and they have to bring in players from the taxi squad?
I don't think it would have worked out that way.
How would it have worked out?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they delay game seven. I push it back.
When?
I have no idea. For
2 weeks?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
We're going to delay the World Series for two weeks until all these guys get better.
No, I bet you they would have tested like hell constantly, and they would have tried to do it the way that the NFL did it. Delay it by a day here or a day there. Okay, well, we had a positive test on Monday, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we haven't had any positive tests, regardless. So we're going to play on Saturday.
Regardless, say they even do that even. The asterisk, do you not have it next to the whoever wins if they have to come in with six or seven players or they wait 2 weeks till everybody's good? Do you not just say, okay, this is not a real championship?
Well,
these aren't real champions then. We just waited 2 weeks.
You can't have come this far. You can't have come this far and just leave it like that. I mean, that would have absolutely killed them. They're thanking God it's a hypothetical this morning and not an actual thing they've got to deal with. Like, the best thing that happened to them last night was the Rays pulling Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Because I think we do have a game seven if Blake Snell stays in the game in the sixth inning.
I'm with you on that.
And a Ziggy lock would have been unlocked. You never took credit for your call yesterday.
1 hour and 19 minutes. Believe me, I've been waiting for you to bring it up.
Because, well, here.
One hour and 19 minutes. I wanted to see how long you could go without mentioning it. I'm wrong, you mention it within the first 63 seconds of the show.
Yes. Well, Kevin Cash and Justin Turner's COVID might have taken precedent over Ziggy Lock.
An hour 19.
After an L.A. team let you down Monday night in the football game, an L.A. team picked you up in the baseball game. You must be a happy guy. Are you going to leave us with a Ziggy Lock since you're not on tomorrow? Are you going to leave us with a Ziggy Lock for the Thursday nighter tomorrow or anything like that? Or are you?
I'll call it in.
You'll call it in. I don't think you're calling in.
I am calling in. As long as I'm not having surgery at 6 a.m., I'm calling in.
I'm consulting with my 26 analytics interns, and they have run each an individual algorithm, and 24 out of 26 have come back saying it's less than 40-60 that you're going to call in. I don't trust that you will. I don't think that you will.
They're probably going to take my cell phone, though, once I get in the gown and everything. Won't they? I'll talk to the doctor today. I'll say, hey, can I do the show from while I'm waiting to go in? Because, you know, you go into the pre-op room and you sit there and you wait for an hour or two. I'm just going to be like, I'm bringing my cell phone in. I got to do a hit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, again, I'm not a doctor. That will surprise you to hear. I think it's generally understood that patients don't talk on their cell phones while they're having their hand cut open.
Not during the surgery, pre-surgery.
Oh, pre-surgery.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do? If you're sitting in the lobby, you need to be that guy.
It's the worst.
You always get somebody on the bus or walking down the street, and you can hear their entire one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
You need to be that guy in the lobby and make everybody else realize that you're a radio star. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, good to be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, this morning with you boys. Yeah, yeah, I'm Mike Zigomanis. Yeah, yeah, I'm about to get my hand cut open.
I'm calling in tomorrow.
Okay.
I got a question.
Or I don't necessarily have an answer, but you can fire it out there.
I just got a message.
Oh God. Is this
it's regarding the pitching and Snell.
Is this from the baseball chat group or is this
No, this is a serious one.
Okay.
This is serious. This is serious business.
All right.
And maybe we can talk to Barker. Is Barker coming on right now?
He's coming on in eight minutes. Yeah.
8 minutes?
Yeah. 7:22. He'll be on at 7:30.
So you have the analytics tell you when a pitcher should get pulled. So I just had a message saying, well, what happens when the manager pulls the pitcher before his two times through the bat when he's having a bad game? Where are the analytics there? That's a feel how you just pull your pitcher early because it's not happening, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, if a guy's getting hit hard, you're not going to leave him out there to die. The whole point
So you're saying because he doesn't have it that day. So then the days that he is pitching well, you leave him in. This is tough to really
Ziggy, explain. You're preaching to the choir.
So then if the guy has it, you leave him in past. And I'm going to make, and I understand. So I understand what you're saying. You can leave him in because he's like Snell yesterday. You should have left him in. But I'm going to tell you why they don't. They don't because they want to maximize the starting pitcher until one pitch before he goes off the rails. That's mm-hmm. the whole point.
Okay.
I understand this message I got in from a buddy. I get that. And you're with that school of thought. And I hear that loud and clear. But the whole idea with the analytics and starting pitcher is you want to have him in one pitch before he gives up a big hit or home run.
Right. And so last night it was about not facing Mookie Betts a third time. It had nothing to do with the 74th pitch because he'd thrown 73. It had everything to do with we'll let Mookie Betts hit a double off of Nick Anderson and get the trolley train going around the bases. We can live with that, but we can't live with Mookie Betts hitting a double off of Blake Snell. We just can't.
Yeah.
So
I just got, yeah.
Did you get another message? I don't know.
No, I did. Actually, I just got another one saying,
is it difficult? Is it difficult for you to co-host a radio show while you're having other conversations with people?
Where are these messages coming in? No, but they add to the conversation though. I think that's a good point. I really do think that's a good point about pitchers get pulled earlier because you feel they don't play well. You're not listening to the analytics there. I think it's a good point. But no, I got a message from my buddy Sammy asking me if I want to play golf today. And he said, or does the analytics say Ziggy's done with golf?
Sammy, does Sammy know Ben Ackerton?
No, they don't know each other. But he just said, hey, do you want to play golf today? Or does the analytics say that golf is done for Ziggy?
Are you going to play golf today? Maybe you should because you could be permanent. Well, if they screw your surgery up tomorrow, you're going to be permanently down a digit. You'll never grip a golf club. I could
play golf with nine fingers. A guy has scaled. There's a climber, Tommy Caldwell. He scales like 3,000-foot cliffs with one short finger. Short an index finger. Yeah.
Can I do a deep dive on YouTube about Tommy Caldwell? Say hi to Sammy for the rest of us.
Sammy, what's up from all the boys?
There you go.
Here at Leadoff. There you go.
And we appreciate that he's listening. Although, let us know if you're golfing today. And thanks for the invite, by the way. Kevin Barker is going to join us. Do you want to take the first question and ask him that question?
Can you phrase that one for me? Because I don't know how to. It's a long.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a long statement question.
We'll get it singing with Kevin Barker. He'll definitely have some opinions on what went down in last night's game. Adnan Virk will be along in the 8 o'clock hour. We're all over the Dodgers World Championship. The early pull of Blake Snell. The Justin Turner positive COVID test. Rob Manfred sounding addled at best. In the post game, lots to cover. We're all over it this morning. Barker's next. You never go wrong with the Stones. Even Robbie Manfred is sounding like Keith Richards after a long night. All right. Well,
I think this is being played because you didn't talk about me picking the winner last night, but you can't wait to come on the radio and call out my losses. I get it now. I see where this is going. I'll step my game up. What am I now? 6-2-1.
You made up the original number anyway, so just
6-2-1.
6-2-1. Perfect.
Yep. There we go. 6-2-1. Sammy actually, sorry, just so we had a tweet, not a tweet, I had a message come in from a buddy of mine, asked me if I want to play golf. Sammy was being facetious. He was kind of kidding around. I missed the second message. He actually says, do you want to golf today at 11? And then his second message, I got to say this because I don't want to mess this up, was, do you want to play golf today at 11 before you leave for surgery? Because analytics say you will be done with golf after. Thanks, Sammy. So he was chirping analytics. I mean, that's funny.
All right. Have you decided whether you're going golfing? So we can put this
I'm
one.
I'm not golfing today.
Oh, you're
today.
Not golfing.
Come on.
A little too chilly. All right. You don't love the sport that much.
I got surgery tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but you got to fast before surgery. You don't have to not play golf.
I can't drink any. I can't eat anything after midnight. And then only water. I can have liquids up to water 4 hours prior to surgery.
There you go.
That's right. What the doctors and the nurses say.
Your plan is to be back on Friday. Kevin Barker is with us now, the co-host of Baseball Central with Jeff Blair. Should be a lively show this afternoon, 2 o'clock here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan as they break down what went down last night. Hello, Mr. Barker. How are you?
Boys, what's up?
Well, where do you want to start? I mean, let's start with Blake Snell. Let's start with the decision to pull Blake Snell. We understand the reasoning, or at least we presume to understand the reasoning, which is you're not getting Mookie Betts and that Dodgers order a third time through. Fine. Okay. But Blake Snell was pitching like the ace he is. Why are teams absolute slaves to the algorithms? Why can't Kevin Cash use a little human experience and veer off the plan when he sees Snell dominating the way that he was?
Yeah, that's not the Rays. The Rays haven't done that since I've been watching the Rays. You know, I've been consistently have been watching the Rays do this all year. This is why they're in the World Series. It's, you know, they don't allow that guy to go the extra batters that can get them in trouble. Now, you know, he faced 18 batters, struck out 9 of those. You know, eye test would tell you he's dominating. You know, the first three guys in the order, you know, they combined 6 at bats, 6 punch outs. That's about as dominant as you can possibly get to a really, really good lineup. For some reason or the other, Kevin Cash wasn't seeing what we were seeing. He was seeing that track record says third time through the order, they're going to have better at bats. They're going to start to take the slider a little bit better. They're going to lay off the breaking ball. They're going to have a better chance of hitting the fastball. I would assume that third time through the order, it seems to like that Blake Snell's fastball or velocity tends to go down a tick, which we weren't seeing that last night. But again, this is what the Rays are. This is what the Rays do. Kevin Cash, I'll say this. Sometimes I think, as a manager, you have to ask yourself, is the guy that I'm going to better than the guy that's already standing on the mound? And last night, you would have definitely said with a period, end of story, that's not the case. You know, when Nick Anderson hasn't been the Nick Anderson of the regular season, you know, the velocity's down, the location's down, the breaking ball's not as good as it was when we saw him earlier in the year. For whatever reason, stuff's not there. He's been getting hit around, you know, and that's the Tampa Bay way, is they want him, or, you know, in the middle of the order guy, and then they bring in everybody else. This is, you know, you can say they preset that. You can say that they had it lined up the way they wanted to have it lined up. Listen, if Nick Anderson had came in and been the guy that was the guy in the regular season, there's a game 7. That's the one thing I think that Kevin Cash was thinking is, if I can get this through this inning with still the lead, we're going to win this game and go on to game 7, and we have Charlie Morton to hang our hat on. That's, I think, what he was thinking. And again, you know, the eye test, just the way Blake Snell looked, this is not a good look. And you know, Kevin Cash, that's the one guy I would not want to be, because, you know, who cares what we think? It's about the guys that were in that clubhouse that he had to go in and say, this is why I did that. Sorry, didn't work out. Well, come back and get him next year. How do you think that conversation would have went?
Well, I don't even know if the Tampa Bay Rays front office cares about how the players feel, because they're going to trade all of those guys the moment they become expensive anyway. It's just a churn there. But to your point about cash, Kevin, let's just put two scenarios out there. One which actually did happen, and an alternative which we'll never know would have or would not have. What did happen is Snell is pulled, and Nick Anderson ends up giving up the double to Mookie Betts, and the Dodgers score some runs. Kevin Cash is sitting in his office after the game with a couple of members of the Rays front office, the consequential members of the Rays front office to whom he has to answer. What kind of conversation are they having about that? Well, you know, the results weren't what they wanted, but we trust the process. You made the right decision. Is that the type of conversation that's being had? And on the flip side, if he stays with Blake Snell and Blake Snell actually retires Mookie Betts for a third time and gets out of that sixth inning, and he stays longer with Snell than the original plan because Snell is looking good, he does a bit of an eye test, is he answering to those front office types who are unhappy with him even though the result worked out?
Now, the Kevin Cash after the game says that's not the way they do it there. They allow him to make his own calls.
Do you believe that?
No, I do not. That's not the Rays way. Like, just if you watch the Rays play consistently all year, like I have, like you have, like most Blue Jays fans have, because they're in the American League East and you have to see them all the time, the way they play defense and the way they use their pitching staff, it's no different. The way they've used it in the World Series, they basically had this lined up exactly the way they wanted to have it lined up. But Nick Anderson hasn't been Nick Anderson. That's basically how this comes down to. And the conversation he's having with people above him, I'm assuming the conversation is you did exactly what you were supposed to do. It didn't work out. That's, you know, heaven forbid if the eye test tells you to let you go through the third time through the order, but the numbers say otherwise. So what do you do as a manager? That's the issue here in 2020 is how do you go about bringing in the player? Me personally, I would have bit the bullet and left the player in. And if you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, you want to yell at me after the game because we lose because the best guy was on the mound. I think that's the question is, do you think honestly, when you're walking to the mound, I'm bringing in, with the way Nick Anderson has been, I'm bringing in a guy that's better than the guy that I'm going to get the ball from? The answer was a definite no. So why are you taking him out? That's the question.
Well, yeah, Anderson's streak of seven straight outings allowing a run in the postseason is now a record. Like, what do the analytics say about Anderson coming in? They can't be good, right?
Yeah, again, you know, velocity's down with him. I just mentioned all the things that I've been seeing that, you know, he hasn't had in the playoffs for whatever reason. Maybe they've overused him. They have went to him in high leverage situations. He's faced the middle of the order most of the time. And you add that to your stuff is not where it used to be. That's not going to be good. And oh, by the way, you're facing the best lineup in baseball, who is relentless and sooner or later is going to get you because they have superstars all up and down the lineup who, you know, just attack what they do well. And sooner or later, you're going to throw a ball where you shouldn't and somebody's going to hit a ball hard. And that's what Mookie Betts did. You know, Mookie Betts is an MVP. Is Mookie Betts now the best player in baseball? That's, you know, that's a good thing that's left this World Series is now we're talking about Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. Who's the best player in baseball? Well, right now you'd have to argue that Mookie Betts is, just by the way he runs the bases, defense, his arm. You know, he has power. He can hit for average. You know, he has a great smile. He's a great teammate. Everything you could possibly want in a guy, he is it. So is he the greatest player in baseball? You know, you could argue that. Look, you can't take anything away from what the Rays have done. That they are the little engine that could with unbelievable pitching. It's just that one thing that Kevin Cash is going to go home and go, numbers say this. We had this planned out perfectly. We had our three high leverage guys lined up with the lead. I can get this to game seven. When in doubt, go to him. He went to him. It didn't work out.
By the way, the Boston Red Sox have a lot of financial flexibility, and they will probably come in under the luxury tax threshold, Kevin. So the fact that Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball and plays for the LA Dodgers right now, I mean, you can say that if you want, but the Boston Red Sox, they've got it figured out, and you need to remember that. The Red Sox know. They know best.
Yeah, Look, it's the, or every organization has to make up their own mind. That's, you know, what's best for your organization. What's best for the Dodgers is you load it with as much talent as you possibly can. I don't care how much money that costs. They got all kinds of money. I'll figure it out down the road. That's what the Dodgers are doing. They're very well equipped to be good forever.
I was being facetious on the Red Sox, though. I mean, how do you a homegrown talent of that
caliber
walk?
Because it's $300 million. You know, the Dodgers can do that because they have things and pieces around. Mookie Betts was just the final piece. Final piece to make us good for who knows how long. The Red Sox got a long way to go. Is Mookie Betts going to be, you could have wasted Mookie Betts' first 4 years of that 10 or 12 year deal, whatever it was, because the Red Sox aren't real good. The Dodgers aren't going to waste Mookie Betts. Because he's surrounded by all of that stuff and the way they use their minor league system and the way they go out and get free agents and all the money that they have, you know, and Walker Buehler. Let's not forget that. That is, people throw around Ace a lot. You said that sort of Blake Snell's their ace. You know, aces, for me, you have to earn that. Blake Snell hasn't earned that yet. But Walker Buehler, you know, you could argue that when he totes the heel, it's basically a final score of the Dodgers winning. Now I figure out how to win the other four games. That, you know, that's something that you can take away from the World Series. So there's so many great things that if you're a Dodgers fan that you have to look forward to. Man alive, there's superstars everywhere. And Corey Seager's got a free agent another year? Maybe you run another $150 million at him and you have him a healthy Corey Seager with a Mookie Betts for the next 5 or 6 years? Are you kidding?
Well,
are you kidding me?
And at some point they're going to have to pay Cody Bellinger as well. But there was something I heard or read about a week ago, Kev. Outside of Betts, they have no actual money committed to anybody past 2022.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they'll have arbitration eligible players who they'll end up settling with and all of that. So, it's not like they're going to lose all their guys.
Yeah, no, but don't forget, too, you could develop Dustin May into that stuff. You've seen his stuff. Like, his stuff is 101 with stupid sink that nobody can barrel up. And if you get him, add a little control and a bit of experience and understand how to throw strike one and expand with a secondary pitch, and you add him to Walker Buehler, whoa. Like, again, these are just things that you can see when you watch the Blue Jays play every single day, and now you're watching the Dodgers. Now you're thinking, how far away are the Blue Jays away from beating the Dodgers? Like, the Blue Jays are way down here and the Dodgers are way up here. I just think it's consistently what you have to have to be a top-end team year after year. Anybody can do it 1 year. It's now doing it year after year after year, and everybody in the Dodgers organizations have pulled the right strings. And, and now the monkey's off the back. They needed this one for me to get the monkey off the bat, and now everything else is gravy, and now you don't have any pressure. You know, the pressure was all on the Rays in the World Series. Now, it's funny. All the pressure is off of the Dodgers, and they're the best team in baseball. Look out.
What'd you think of Justin Turner getting pulled out of the game for a positive COVID test?
That's what you do. You know, I wonder why he was coming back out and hugging people after the game. I'm not real sure of that. I have no idea how Major League Baseball would allow that. Have a security guard go down and stand in front of his door. Don't let him do that. Can anybody explain that to me? Like, as good as baseball has been and the way they've gotten through this with no positive tests, and then they have one for however reason that happened, and they did the right thing by taking him out of the game and basically saying, go in this room and stay in this room, and he didn't obey that because he wanted to go out and celebrate with his teammates. Have a security guard go down there and stand in front of the door and say, hey, sorry, man. This is just the way it is. You can celebrate on the phone or you can yell through the door when they come out. It's 2020. We're in a pandemic. You know, you don't want to be getting people sick. And then he runs out on the field and he's hugging people. And, it took a little bit of a great situation and turned it into, are you kidding me? What are you doing? So I'm sure something will happen with that. And everybody will be quarantined and, they'll get past it. But it's one of those situations where it just makes you scratch your head. I celebrate, going out and hugging your teammates, is it really worth it? Like, you can yell through the door, and it's just.
Well, there will be a lot of questions, Kev. Like, how did the virus get into the bubble?
There you go. Right?
I mean, that'll be one. When did they know of the positive test result? Like, that question, I'm not saying they knew before the game, but that question will be asked, and will we ever get an honest answer to it? Did he take the field in the top of the first inning at third base for the Los Angeles Dodgers knowing he was COVID positive? Like, yeah, okay. Then it will be a question that people ask.
I think it's a yes.
Well, me and you, I think nobody yes. knows that. We're guessing that. But the only thing I do know is they took him out of the game because he had it. And now that he has it, and now you want to quarantine that, make sure he stays in a room until you can figure out what you have to do about it. Like, that's the case. You just can't have, you know, a World Series champion running out on the field who can you know, put other people in harm. It's just not it's not a good look. You know, baseball in the World Series, not a ton of people watching the World Series anyway, for whatever reason. You know, it's your prerogative whether you want to watch the World Series or not. Bottom line is, not a ton of people were watching it. And now you add sort of a black eye to the mix of a guy running out on the field who has COVID. Like, so that's something they'll have to take care of. And I'm sure Rob Manfred will be out having a conversation about that real soon.
Kev, you're a true friend of the show. So a couple of quick yes or no questions for you. When Ziggy gives his locks,
yeah,
do you take those to the bank? Do you?
No.
Okay, so you don't, so that's good. All right, so that's a check mark.
It depends on what he's locking about.
Well, he locked the Chicago Bears on Monday night, and that didn't go so well for him. But then he locked the Dodgers. He must have gotten into the he must have had a bit of fly on the wall of the Rays front office.
I listened to Barker's Bundesliga's picks, so that's all that matters, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kev, I know you're a baseball guy first and foremost, but because you're a friend of the show and because you helped coach Ziggy into a 101 mile an hour fastball contact,
miracles happen.
You don't have to say yes or no right now, but we are considering a Masters mini putt. And there is an invite for you.
Mini putt.
There is an invite for you if this actually happens and you want to join. So you don't have to say yes right now, but you're welcome.
Can I say no right now?
You can if you want. You can if you want.
Hey, look. My wife once a couple of years ago got me some golf lessons for my birthday. Those didn't go well. I was laughed at by the instructor. So to say that I'm going to go out and let two grown men and a camera laugh at me about my putting, you know, that's she you know, and it was a very nice lady, and she actually said, "You play baseball?"
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that ball was moving at 100 miles an hour. This golf ball is sitting there on the 10.
Yeah, I took full hacks from the hip, and that ball never moved.
Lots of fun, Kev. Thanks for doing this. We'll have you on again very soon.
Yeah, too bad it's over. I wish there was a game 7.
But you bet.
Team won.
You bet.
See Adnan you guys Burke, later.
Coming up. Why is there so little time?
So we got on a roll.
We got a $100 McDonald's gift card to give away in about an hour to the texter who makes our morning. So we're reading your texts all morning to 590-590 here on Leadoff.
Yeah, here's a couple of quick ones. Scotty Ziggy, my physiological analytics tell me to stay in bed every morning, but the eye test of my bank account keeps me going to work. In honor of Kevin Cash and the Rays, I might go back to bed today. That from Bill in Hamilton. And here's one from Stu in Whitby. Very simply, analytics equals no Kirk Cousins iconic moment, Kellen Winslow playoff memory, or Bobby Bond playing with a broken leg.
Wait, Kirk Cousins had an iconic moment?
Oh, Kirk Gibson. Sorry, did I say Kirk Cousins will never have an iconic
Kirk Cousins had many iconic moments.
Unfortunately, none of them.
For the other teams.
Kirk Gibson,
yes.
Of course, hobbling around after hitting a home run.
We will pick our favorite text, the text that made our morning, in about an hour, right at the end of the show, and we will give away a $100 McDonald's gift card. Adnan Virk next hour, and more on the controversial ending to the World Series. Taking your text to 590-590, and at approximately 8:50, we will select the text that made our morning, and the texter will win a $100 gift card to McDonald's. That is more than one egg and cheese McMuffin.
I had two of them yesterday.
Sorry.
I do have something to say about it, though.
You never leave your house except to go to fast food places, except for that one time last week where you ended up at that
yesterday.
Really nice waterfall
I
near
therapy
Hamilton.
Yesterday, and I was hungry on the way home. And I get the egg and cheese on a
you know,
English
here's
muffin.
The thing. Here's the thing with you.
No, I have an issue. I don't know if I'm allowed to bring it up, though.
No, just a second before you have it. I have the lead here. You are all about the sheep kefir and the drinks that go from brown to green if you don't drink them quickly enough, or green to brown, whatever order that is. But you're a trash diver. You're a dumpster diver. You eat a lot of fast food.
It's not fast
you're
food.
Not,
it's good food
you're not
quick.
Nearly as healthy as
it's
you want us
quick.
To believe. You want to start
you post
a food
a picture
blog?
Of me in my house. Oh my God, that's illegal.
No, I posted
Sorry,
a photo
ahead.
Of me with my crazy hair.
My couch is a mess. You can't post that picture.
Dude,
let me clean my couch.
Nobody can
up for
see
a little.
Your couch. Nobody can see your couch. It's
Buddy,
you
look
with
at
your
the picture.
Microphone.
Look at the picture. My couch is in the picture.
Oh my God, your couch is in the picture and you've got a messy couch. All of those people.
Buddy, let me clean my couch up before you post the picture. Isn't that like...
You got a blanket on your couch. You've got
yeah,
a blanket on your couch. A blanket on your couch. A blanket partially unfolded on your couch. And
oh
you're treating
goodness.
It like you've got fast food wrappers discarded all over the place. That there's rat crap in between the crevices of the cushions. Like I thought we had a grade A nuclear issue here. I look at the photo and there's a half unfolded blanket on your couch.
Look at Scotty Mac's Twitter right now and you tell me if that's acceptable for somebody to post a picture when it's they didn't have a chance to clean up a little bit. Sorry.
The whole point
Where
was
were we?
My hair is completely
Yeah, I got the
up.
Hair. You could have just showed yourself in the picture. You love. You knew that would bother me. That's why.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You love to joke about the fact that I'm neurotic. You're neurotic.
Yes, yeah,
you're
yeah.
neurotic.
I know.
You've got layers to your neuroses.
Oh yeah.
All right, back on track here. Where were we?
Yeah. So the McDonald's sandwiches, or no, fast food sandwiches. It's not fast food. It's food fast. It's good food fast. All right. What's the saying? It's there's a saying there.
It's good food quick.
Whatever. You know what I get. You know what I'm trying to say. It's good food quick. Perfect. My issue is that they don't sell the hash browns all day. So I might have to talk to McDonald's about that one.
Yeah, but they replace their hash browns with their fries at about 11 a.m.
I like the hash brown.
Well, the fries
it's
are
different.
Good, too.
It's different.
It is different.
The fry is not the same as a hash brown, first of all.
It's a
baked,
potato.
It's baked and it's fried and they do it differently. All right? It's totally different. That might be a poll question.
I think we're coming
up. Is a hash brown the same as a French fry?
You put that one out there. I can't promise you I'll retweet that. I can't promise you I'll retweet that. We are coming up on that time, though, where I'm going to crave a double quarter pounder. Every now and then, I get a hankering for a double quarter pounder. And I'll pay like $25 on Uber Eats to get like a burger and a fry. It costs you $5 if you went to the store. I'm so lazy that I'll order it into my home. I haven't done this in a really long time, so I don't want people thinking I'm doing it three times a week, but I'm getting to that point. Yeah, I think
double
the picture,
quarter pounder.
Yeah, yeah. The photo is fine. Your
no,
couch
it's not,
is
it's
fine.
Not, it's not fine. I'm not retweeting it.
Your drapes Sorry. Look like they're from the 80s. So maybe
yeah, the drapes are old. My couch is not thing. I got the hoodie on. I mean, it's just, it's a disaster in here.
It's not a disaster. It's not at all.
Were you surprised I do the show from the couch? Like when I told you I was going to do it from the couch, were you just like, you're going to be in like some office?
You're not sitting on the couch.
I'm sitting on the couch right now.
Oh,
what do you think I'm doing?
It looks like you're propped up in a chair and with the couch behind you.
No, I'm sitting in a couch on a couch. Doing it every day on a couch.
Shoulders are slumped and just,
my posture isn't good. My posture's not good. That's the one thing when you go on air, you're supposed to get,
supposed
to sit the right way.
When the time comes, if the time comes and we're all coming back to the office, you're going to fight that. You're going to fight the man on that.
I can't wait to come back in.
You have taken to this. You like this couch experience. You like rolling out of bed.
It's way better. Like it's actually been kind of fun though.
Yeah,
I want to come back in the office and I miss seeing everyone, but it's like, it's added something else to like it's brought up a lot of good topics. Like, let's be serious.
Sure.
Like it's been fun. It's been fun. No more pictures though of the, like that is a hard no on the couch. Unless you give me warning.
You know what I'm going to do?
Up a little.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a picture of my couch as is right now. And I will tweet it out. You have nothing to be ashamed of. It looks totally normal and nobody noticed anything until you brought it up. And it's not even anything that we still notice, even though you brought it up. Your couch is fine.
If I get one tweet about my couch, you have to delete it. Oh, there it is. There's a couch under there somewhere. See?
Yeah, from Silk Gentilly.
Yeah.
From one of our own.
He carved me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If I get one more, that's it. It's off. Delete it.
You are a very, very sensitive soul.
Oh, we got a couple saying the couch is fine. Now we got Scotty hair is distracting me from your blankets. See?
That's I'm the getting point. Tripped from- the point was the hair. The hair is that I'm now wearing a hat to work to keep this lid under control. I'm in that phase between it's not short anymore, but it's also not totally long.
That ain't right, Scott, but that's Scarborough. Oh man. Yeah. Anyways.
Adnan
this
Virk.
Has been just awesome today.
Adnan Virk.
Awesome.
We'll ask Adnan Virk if it's okay to post a photo. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing in there that A gives away your location other than Scarborough, because you've talked about that, which is a big area. So we don't know exactly where you are.
I'm in Agent Court there.
We can't tell by anything inside what exactly the house is or where the house is. Like you're totally safe here. We got some questions about the drapes. We think you could go for an upgrade on those.
These drapes are Walmart drapes that I got like 20 years ago.
Well, that's it. I was going to say they look kind of 90s style, and I'm not a drapes aficionado.
I'm not anything.
Like I don't know, but I'm just going to say those don't look like they were bought yesterday. We could work on that. I don't know. You might end up with some tips on Twitter. And on the text line to 590-590 from people who have looked at their Twitter and seen the photo, you might end up with some interior design tips. This could be a big thing for you. You could undergo a six-figure change to your home for all of 25 cents with all the advice you could get.
I think I need a team of interior designers to take care of this place.
Well, we could set that up for you. People are listening. You know, who knows?
Interior designers. Who's out there? Send me a couple DMs.
For all the angst that photo has caused you to be posted on Twitter, it may end up changing your life, and you don't even know it, and changing your life in a good way.
If I get an interior designer here to come and help me with my place, I will stop being upset about this.
Okay. We need you, before you leave today, to give us a Ziggy's Lock on the Thursday nighter since you're off tomorrow, and we can't confirm whether you're calling in or not.
Can I text it in? I don't like doing it the day before.
Okay.
I already have a hard time doing the Sunday picks on Friday because I get my stuff on Saturday.
Well, and if Monday night's result is anything to go by, you clearly have difficulty picking Monday's game on Monday.
You guys went and got that done. Who called that in? Who went and got that?
That's
that
Big
drop
Voice
right?
Guy.
I know. Who called Big Voice Guy to get that done?
I don't have Big Voice Guy's number.
What producer?
I don't know if it was Silent Vic. I don't know if it was Hayden. I don't know if it was Silk Gentilly.
Name
I don't know if it was Hugh Burrell. I don't know who did it. It wasn't
that
me.
Is honestly, I got the picture on Twitter of my messy room, and now it's got big voice guy being calling me out. This has just been, I'm going for surgery tomorrow. I picked the winner last night too. This day has just gone sideways on me.
It has. And wait until Tim Leeper, who was texting me photos of all, there was a dusting of snow in Muskoka yesterday. So he was texting me photos yesterday of that, which was an upgrade on the photos that he usually texts me, which is him in like a night undershirt and his boxer shorts taking out the trash in the morning. I'm like, that if Justin Turner wants to know what his life looks like in 20 years, then he needs to get Tim Leeper's phone number and have Leap text him photos.
Oh man.
Walking around Muskoka in your boxers and your shirt, taking out the trash and sending photos to all your friends.
I usually get he'll send me a couple of the coffee in the morning. That's what he get. I get some messages. I can't even say them on the air. Some of the messages I get.
He's got some themes. He's got some themes with his different text recipients. What he says to Arash is different than what he says to me, is different than what he says to you, is different than all of it. He's got themes. Leap's got his organized chart where he's, okay, I'm going to text so-and-so at 8 o'clock, text so-and-so at 8:05, and just keep on going and going and going. The Blake Snell story has reignited the analytics debate, and I don't think there's a debate here, Ziggy. I thought the move was stupid at the time. I thought the Shoemaker move in Game 1 of the Blue Jays series was the wrong move at the time. I'm not coming off that, but anybody who says that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to reassess how they do things, they'll ask themselves some questions, but they are not coming off of their algorithms. They are not coming off of their game plans. They are not going to change how they go about their business based off of what happened with the sixth inning and pulling Blake Snell for Nick Anderson last night. And if we're into game 26 of a 162 game regular season next year, and the Tampa Bay Rays are doing something different, well, that's because it's game 26 out of 162, and you don't have many off days. You have to play the long game in the regular season. Their playoff approach in whatever year they're going to make the playoffs ain't going to change because of what happened last night.
I actually don't mind that. Go with the analytics during the year more, and then the playoffs, lay off it a little bit. I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with that. I know I'm against what happened last night, but call it out when it happens. Don't wait for the two runs to come in. That's my only thing.
Everybody
jumped on Twitter as soon as the runs went in. I didn't see many people that were like, are you kidding me, pulling Snell?
Okay.
This is the worst decision. I didn't see many of those. I saw all the chirping after the two runs went in. Maybe I know there's algorithms to your Twitter feed, but I didn't see a lot of them. I'm sorry. Well, I saw them after.
Not after. Okay. So let's just pretend then, for the sake of argument, that we're okay with Snell getting pulled. Nick Anderson's been pitching like Tanner Roark.
He's got the record for most runs given up in consecutive games.
So you go to Nick Anderson.
Why Anderson?
Well, because he's stuffed them all season long. He was unhittable for most of the regular season. And I wonder if guys, I'm telling you this, and it's impossible to prove a negative. So I'm sure this is one of those radio guy takes that nobody's allowed to have without evidence to back it up. Well, I'm going to have one here. I wonder if those multiple innings that Nick Anderson threw earlier on in the playoffs, when there'd be a game where he'd throw two or three innings, he didn't do that all season. I wonder if that screwed him up.
Anderson like not have a wild pitch all season?
He didn't have one. Almost unhittable all season long.
But here's the thing. You probably have the analytics where it's like Anderson's the best guy to come in to relief. But then he's playing bad in the playoffs. Don't put him in. I bet you analytics, though, say he's the guy to come in your starter.
They had it charted out.
I'll bet you there are numbers to support Anderson in the fifth inning or sixth inning is the best pitcher to come in when he is rested. But if he is playing bad in the playoffs, you do not put him in.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what the computer did not draw up. The computer did not draw up Blake Snell being taken out of the game and Aaron Loop pitching in the same inning that Snell had been taken out of the game. That tells you it went sideways. And God love Loopy, but he's the one guy down in that bullpen who doesn't throw 106. And he's as likely to plant one on the backside of a left-handed hitter as he is to throw a left-handed hitter a strike. So I don't know. I just don't know how you sit in that dugout and you don't see that Blake Snell is working a pretty good ball game.
And did you sorry to cut you off? Did you see Snell when he got pulled? Did you see the facial expression? Like he was. I think he let out an explicit, like he was.
And how many times have we seen that from pitchers this year?
Here's the thing about that, though. When you actually see something like that, it's 1,000 times worse on the bench or in the dugout or in the room or in the players' lounge. Trust me, or at dinner with the players after. I'm telling you, guys are heat. Like if you see that something visible in a game, it's way worse than what we think it is.
Because you played, so I value your opinion on the answer to this question. Do you think we get to a point where, if we haven't already, it isn't that you want to win less or that you're less competitive? I get worried if guys are expecting to be relieved of their duties. Like, it's almost like you lean back and say, I got two more hitters, regardless. It's not a conscious thing, I'm going to try less hard. But it's well, somebody's coming in to bail me out regardless of what happens with these next two hitters. I can already see it coming. Leadoff hitter is due third. He's coming up for a third time. I'm definitely not pitching to him. So whatever happens with the eighth and ninth hitters in this inning, well, I got somebody else who's going to have to wear it one way or the other. I don't know if there's anything subconscious to that.
Do you know what I want to see? I want to see a manager or a pitching coach look at the pitcher on the mound and saying, are you good? Are you still good? I don't want no one walking out there. I just want a guy to walk out on the field a little bit, point to him, and I want the pitcher to say, yep, come and get me, or no, I'm good. I want to see that in a game.
That's happened in the past.
How many times? Once?
No,
twice?
But it didn't happen last night, but I mean, it's happened a lot of times through the course of baseball. Pitching coach
I
or manager will go out there and say, you got this?
I want to see it more. I want to see it more.
You know, Barker,
and let the guy decide. Let the pitcher, and put the pressure on the pitcher. Do you think you can actually handle this, Blake? Can you handle this today? Yes, I got it. All right, ball's yours.
Barker brought up an interesting point, contrasting Walker Buehler of the Dodgers and Snell of the Rays, saying that Buehler is a true ace and that Blake Snell has not earned that trust. Now, I know that Snell has had health issues in the past and was eased back into things this year. My question is Blake Snell ever going to get the opportunity to earn that trust? Because if you're going to yank him each time the 19th hitter of the game, which is to say the leadoff hitter comes around for the third time, if you're going to pull him every time that guy comes up, how is he ever going to go deep into ball games? How are you ever going to know whether you've got an ace who can throw? This guy's won a Cy Young Award. I mean, won a Cy Young Award in the American League in 2018. He's been the best pitcher in the harder league. Blake Snell has been that guy.
He's proved himself. He's proved himself to stay in that game last night. Regardless, even if he had given up a couple more hits or a run, he deserved to stay in that game. Even a couple more hits, even a run, he stays in the game. Forget about 9 strikeouts. Like you know when a guy has his stuff that night. I don't think it's that. I really don't think it's that complicated.
No,
I'm still I'm shaking my head at it.
They're living and dying by the algorithm. And last night,
they died, and there won't be a game seven as a result.
I wanted a game seven.
Well, we all like did. We all did.
Man, that would have been awesome.
Come for the Blake Snell takes, but stay for the fast food analysis.
It's not fast food. It's food fast.
We got a $100. We got a $100 McDonald's gift card to give away in about 25 minutes.
I heard a loop back in my ear. I couldn't hear myself talk.
Say that again.
It's food fast. I couldn't hear. I had a loop in my ear. It was the looping. I was hearing a feedback. Me and Manfred, I couldn't hear myself.
Manfred couldn't hear because there was a loop in his.
Yeah. That's why he was doing that yesterday too.
Caused him to slur heavily. Justin Turner. Yeah. Well,
that was bad. No, I've had the loop back in the year. It's not easy, but it's not that.
No.
It's not easy, but it's not that.
No, it doesn't cause you to causes you to pause and wait for the loop back to end and then start talking again and wait for the loop back to end over a pause, and it doesn't cause you to slur your words. So there's speculation about the guy who handed over the piece of metal to the LA Dodgers, and he has not had a good year. He got the league, I guess to his credit, he got the league through the shortened pandemic season, but outside of that, it's not been a particularly strong year for the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. Adnan Virk of MLB Network, NHL Network, the GM Shuffle podcast, lots on the World Series. We'll see if we can rope Adnan into some of these Ziggy locks, too. Does he trust Ziggy's gambling proclivities? We'll get
it's
Adnan.
Advice. I'm giving you game advice.
Yes.
Don't mention the word gambling. It's game advice.
Game advice. Okay, gambling. I shouldn't say gambling. And we've got Big Voice Guy to cover whatever screw-ups I make. On a Ziggy lock. The best text of the week. Ziggy's locks could be picked with a toothpick.
Silent Vic, though, he cashed in last night.
Yeah, well,
Silent Vic, Silent Vic.
Which made up for the money he lost DeBears.
Ziggy locks, we always make it back.
We always make it back. Leadoff is not responsible if you don't make it back.
Call Big Voice Guy.
Big Voice
Guy. I'm going to keep coming up with different.
Adnan Virk on the other side. Keep the text coming to 590-590, and if you make our morning, you will win the $100 McDonald's gift card, which we will give away right at the end of the show, so a little less than 20 minutes from now. Ziggy's at home, still angry at me for tweeting out a photo of him and me on FaceTime.
I'm taking tomorrow off.
Yes, you are. You're so upset about it, you're taking tomorrow off. Of course, you're going to cut into your hand for it. Well, hand surgery for you tomorrow. Tim Leeper, by the way, will be the co-host of tomorrow's show with me. Leep's going to have some things to say tomorrow. Well, Leep will have some thoughts on this game six. He'll probably also have some thoughts on the Ziggy locks. You lost on to Bears, but you won on to Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Adnan Virk is with us now from MLB Network, NHL Network, and the GM Shuffle podcast. The morning after the night before, Adnan. Whew, what a game, huh?
We didn't think we could top the low of Sheep Kefir, but we found it in the like of Kevin Cash and that managerial decision.
Whoa. I don't mean to cut you off. That's not Kevin Cash's decision.
True. It is an organizational decision. And it's one that is going to be just roasted for years to come. I mean, it's what's great about postseason baseball is that every single decision gets magnified. And at least for last night, I did find, Scotty, it was a lot of first guessing. You know, there's nothing worse than second guessing. You say, well, hindsight's 2020, they shouldn't have. In the moment, at least there was, in a year which everybody has disagreed on seemingly every topic, it felt the cacophony of noise, at least on social media, that no, this is the wrong decision. This isn't going to work out. And then it did not work out.
Yeah, I don't even know if there was any guessing going on in the Tampa Bay Rays. I honestly think, Adnan, and not just with Tampa Bay, but with people will say, you will hear it. Well, the result didn't work out, but we're happy with our process. We're happy with the process. So we're happy with the process, which means the result, well, 9 times out of 10, result's going to work out. The problem is for the Tampa Bay Rays, the 1 time out of 10 it apparently didn't, was at the most crucial time of the year. But they're always going to be happy with their process. Well, I don't know. Maybe your process should be flexible sometimes. Like if Blake Snell, who in my opinion is an ace, is looking really good, leave him in the game. If he's made Mookie Betts, who we're now discussing with Mike Trout is potentially the best player in the game, that he's got, he's better than Trout. If he's made Mookie Betts look silly the first 2 times up, why not give him an opportunity at the third? Why not give him an opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I guess, to cash the Rays, you say, well, one run game, it's a deciding game. Obviously, we lose this, we're done. And of course, the analytics will say, third time through the order, you want to get a different arm. Numbers always jump. But here's what's ridiculous about that, to your point. The three guys that were due up were guys who struck out each twice, right? Like, if you said to me, no, no, listen, top of the order, the first 2 times through, Snell got them, but they were long at bats, they were tricky. No, no, no. The first three guys in the lineup, he struck out a combined 6 times, and they're the ones coming up. It literally, one thing happened, and Kevin Cash gave him the hook. Like, even you can hear it in Joe Buck's voice. Like, man, that is one quick hook. 73 pitches. Like, even in the moment, Scotty, you go, okay, I understand, third time through the door. And it, to your point, you have a process. This is what works. Okay, got it. But I agree with you on flexibility. And particularly, how about this point? Okay, if you really want to hook Snell, if you say, you know what, third time through it doesn't work, okay, fine. But Nick Anderson, like every single time, Kevin Cash is treating this guy like his high leverage reliever, like he's my most important guy. When there's a pickle, he's my guy. He gave up runs in 7 straight appearances. Like every single time he came in the game, he'd give up a run. So even if you were to argue, you know what, I do think you got to take out Blake Snell there, because when Blake Snell does go awry, it does happen in a hurry. In his previous appearance, no hitter through 4. Then all of a sudden a couple come on, gives him a couple runs. Okay, that's it. Blake Snell's done. All right, again, if you want to give me that, but I would bring in Nick Anderson. He's the guy that goes, no, no, no. Every single time he came in the game, he gave up runs. Look at his numbers from the postseason, the regular season. He clearly was tired, clearly was not sharp, and a wild pitch and an infield fielder's choice later, the Dodgers win the World Series.
I'm a little torn up with the decision, Adnan, because you have to, whatever gets you to where you are, I'm a believer in, you have to keep doing it, whether it's a player, a system, the way you coach, whatever you've developed to get you to a certain point, you should stick with it. So I'm okay with the Rays doing it. In this situation, though, say Cash does leave him in and they blow it, do you think he takes similar kind of heat?
No, because I think the pitch count was at 73, Ziggy, that you'd say, it wasn't like he was 100 and he kind of fell in love with the notion that all of a sudden this guy's Jack Morris. You know what I mean? You'd say, no, seriously, he was on cruise control. I mean, the control to me was the big part of it too, right? I mean, he wasn't walking anybody. 9 strikeouts, and he was flying through that game. So I think if, you know, that runner reaches, you know, supposing if, you know, Mookie had then gotten a base hit off Snell, let's suppose he got a double, right? It was second and third. And then there was another hit, and it was a tie game, and then Cash got pulled, and then people were like, all right, you know what? He tried to let his starter get out of a jam. He probably ended up throwing 80 to 85 pitches. That's fine. He let Snell try to get out of the game. Once it was 1-1, he took him out. I think if he'd left him in and it was all of a sudden a 3-1 game, people would say, no, 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 Kevin Cash took too long. The game got away from him. So it's very tricky. It's a matter literally of batter to batter. But I think if he had let Snell face the top three hitters and let's say 2 of the 3 reached and all of a sudden he gave him a hook, it would have been okay. But I think, for example, look at the other game with Arias. Kershaw, sorry. When Kershaw started the 6th inning the other day, it was out, 2 pitches, 85 pitches, 5 2/3, and he gave him the hook. And to Scotty's point, like, it's an organizational decision. And Kershaw said afterwards, no, we'd already decided with Dave that if Margot came up a third time, I was going to be gone. That's why Roberts came out and said, oh, we're good. I'm like, all right, we're good. Like, I want to keep going, but I totally get it. I throw my 85 pitches. So there is that range of 70 to 90, you could argue, in the playoffs, particularly with these guys, that you start to look to give them the hook. But no, I think if Cash had let Blake go until the game was tied, he wouldn't have been second-guessed. If he'd given up the lead, perhaps by some he'd be second-guessed, and by pulling him prematurely, everybody is second-guessed.
With that, Nan Virk, one of the conversations that came up late in the Blue Jays season was, would it be difficult for this team, or more difficult than usual, because it already is tough, difficult for this team to sign free agent pitchers if they're observing from the outside and seeing these quick hooks for some guys? And when I look at what's going on in Tampa Bay, Adnan, I think to myself, well, would Blake Snell be pissed off long-term at the franchise? Well, the quick answer to that question is it doesn't matter, because he is signed through the end of 2023. He'll make 11-plus next year, 13-plus in 2022, and better than 16.5 in 2023. And I guarantee you right now, I guarantee you, I will make you a bet. I'm addicted to making bets. Most of the time it's with Ziggy. I am so confident. I am so confident that you and Ziggy and me will be doing this 2.5 years from now, that you'll be able to hold me to it. I bet you that that $16.6 million salary that he's going to make in 2023 will be paid for by another team. Because the Tampa Bay Rays will trade David Price. They will trade James Shields. When you're getting close to free agency, they will trade Evan Longoria at the end of that long-term contract that he signed pretty much the moment he broke into the big leagues. The moment you become cost prohibitive and somewhat restrictive or approach free agency, you're out the door. So they don't care about managing a relationship with Blake Snell. He's gone in 2 years anyway.
I love the passion and I love the conviction. And to that point, Charlie Morton has an option next year for $16 million, and there's no way in the world the Rays are going to pick it up. And you say, why not? This guy has had...
Did Adnan Virk just drop? There was a click, and there was no more Adnan right in the middle of the Charlie Morton sentence.
Mm.
Spooky.
I don't know where he was going with it. I'd love to fill in
the
blank
there. Is he back? Is Adnan back? All right, Adnan, you were making a point about Charlie Morton and his $16 million option for next year.
Yeah, so he's got the $16 million option for next season, and there's no way the Rays are going to pick it up. Meantime, this guy just had the three best regular seasons of his career. He was an absolute stud in the postseason, with the exception, of course, of the last performance that we saw. But prior to that, he carried them. He was amazing in the division series and the LCS. And so Charlie Morton's not going to get picked up because, to your point, if it's money and it's that kind of money, we're not going to do it. Now, they may decline the $60 million option and say, okay, we'll bring you back for $8 million. But Charlie Morton might say, you know what? I'm 36. I've got four kids. It's been a good run. I'm good. So your point makes a lot of sense. $16 million for one pitcher, whether it's Blake Snell or Charlie Morton or whomever, they're not going to do it. That's just not the way that they do business.
Did you hear Manfred talk after the game?
I heard the booze. Yeah.
Did you think he had a couple drinks after the game or during the game and then came on? Or was this like what happened?
No, I think for everybody, it's a little bit odd, Ziggy, just in that, you know, Tom Verducci's trying to ask you questions, but you're 6 feet away. And so to me, it felt odd. It was like, are we doing interviews? Like, is Tom conducting an interview or is he broadcasting to the crew at large? And they're just cutting their statements. You know what I'm saying? Like, normally the reporter is asked, okay, joining me now is whatever, Stan Kasten. Stan, what was the moment like? He's looking at Tom, looking at the microphone, and then addresses the crowd. In this case, because you were so separate, it was almost like Tom was introducing them, asked them a question, and then either, like, one of the Dodgers owners, Mark Walter, had prepared statement, and then it wasn't like he even acknowledged the question. He just kind of kept reading. And Roberts, I thought Dave Roberts' speech was the most entertaining because he specifically mentioned Kershaw. And then he mentioned like just a few guys. Like, he mentioned like five guys. I'm like, wait, is he going to go through the entire team? I'm like, no. He wanted to get Kershaw, which I totally get. He mentions like Just Turner. And then as I mentioned, I tweeted, he mentioned Ross Stripling. I'm like, yes, Blue Jays. Like, he goes, even though he's no longer here, Ross Stripling, love you. Like, I actually thought Dave's speech was the funniest. But I thought Rob, he looked a little taken aback by the boos at first. But he should know he's in good company. Goodell always gets booed. Bettman always gets boos. I think Adam Silver is the only guy who does not get roundly booed every public appearance.
Justin Turner pulled in the eighth inning, Adnan, for testing positive for COVID. It's all speculation, right? But there will be the natural questions. How did he get COVID? Who got into the bubble? Now, we saw him kissing. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or wife, but, you know, in the celebration afterward, he came back out onto the field. That's a whole other topic. That doesn't occur to me as being a good idea, but there he was. Where is the hole in the boat in terms of this virus sneaking in? Because these teams, these playoff teams, have been bubbled since a week to go in the regular season. And baseball had done a pretty good job up to that point of apparently keeping it out. Now, maybe it's a false positive in the end. We don't know. But as far as we sit here this morning, we understand Justin Turner has COVID.
Yeah, what a bizarre situation. Like, literally, the Dodgers snapped this 32-year streak. Kershaw, I love the ISO cam, him going nuts. He finally gets his World Series championship. I'm like, awesome. And then you see Kevin Burkhardt say, by the way, breaking news, Justin Turner, COVID. You're like, what? Like, this can't possibly be real. And to your guy's point, you're in a bubble. Like, hang on a second. We just saw the National Hockey League. We just saw the NBA. I mean, zero positive tests in the bubble. Like, it's buttoned up. Once you're in, you're safe. So I'm hoping it's a false positive. I myself. I'm like, hey, he's been high-fiving guys. I mean, I kept thinking this. Imagine if the Rays win that game, and then all of a sudden, Justin Turner scored. If we know anything about Major League Baseball and their protocol, they waited 5 to 7 days every single time somebody tested positive. So it doesn't even matter if Justin Turner was the only one. If the news had come out after the game, yes, he tested positive, the World Series would have been postponed for at least 5, if not 7 days. Could you imagine the hype that would have led to Game 7? You're like, wait, hang on a second, guys. We're going to play next Wednesday in Texas, and now all hands on deck, and now Kershaw's going to start. And I mean, it would have been in some ways exhilarating because you'd go, oh, my God, like you got a week to build up for Game 7. In other ways, it would have been a disaster for these guys, as you all of a sudden would have all this momentum just stop for a week.
Well, and imagine the algorithms that the computer would have spat out for would have come up with 72 million different scenarios for the games, different ways to strategize. You got 7 days to leave the computers to do their work. That's me being facetious. By the way, Ziggy, and can you run the disclaimer, Silent Vic? So Ziggy makes his locks, but he's off tomorrow because he's having his pinky finger straightened out. Don't ask. It's a long story.
Finger. Why do you have to always say pinky finger? Just say finger. It sounds so much worse when you say pinky.
Yes. The most inconsequential of the fingers is the one causing you a problem.
It's a valuable appendix.
It's a valuable. That's the pinky toe. That's the pinky toe. Toby, right? Toby was the one who laughed at Seinfeld's stand-up. Sorry, we always go down the Seinfeld rabbit hole. So Ziggy's not going to be here tomorrow to make his Ziggy lock pick for the Falcons and the Panthers. There's no way he wouldn't be taking Carolina. Correct, Adnan? I mean, the Falcons are an absolute mess.
Oh, yeah. 1-6 team. I mean, they're awful. Like, listen, they get rid of DQ and Tom Dimitroff and all of a sudden show one great performance, but nobody's confusing this with a good team. I mean, particularly defensively, they've got lots of holes. And I like Carolina. I think Matt Rhule's a good coach. Teddy Bridgewater's done some things. Panthers, for sure.
There you go, my friend. It's good to hear your voice. As always, we'll do it again next Wednesday, and hopefully Ziggy's digit is healing at that point.
Well, prayers up for Ziggy's digit. No kefir, yeah. No problem. This was a clean episode.
And by digit, I mean pinky finger. We will give away the $100 McDonald's gift card to the texter who made our day next. All right, we got the $100 McDonald's gift card to give away to the person who made our day on the text line at 590-590. And our winner from 6:35 this morning, Kyle in Cambridge. We were talking about why would Kevin Cash be in the dugout anymore? He may as well have an iPad as a manager. You got the Microsoft Surface on NFL sidelines. MLB should do a deal with Apple and make iPads the managers. And he said if we had iPads as baseball managers, they could attach it to a Segway so that the iPad could storm out of the dugout and argue calls with the umpires, do a burnout, and spit dirt all over home plate. Hashtag ratings.
I'd pay to see that, especially when the computer umps come in. So it'll be like an iPad on a Segway arguing with with a box at home plate.
You would just be running the R2-D2 and C-3PO sounders every morning on your updates. We're going to miss you tomorrow, Ziggy.
Yeah, I'm going to miss coming. I'm going to miss coming in.
Okay.
On.
So
close enough.
Coming in, coming on. Yeah.
In, on. Thoughts, I don't know what to call
prayers,
what to call this.
Yeah. Thoughts and
I'm
prayers.
Calling in, though. I'm calling in. There's no way they're going to have surgery before 9.
Okay. So you're going to call in. So now we need a we need a Hulock, not a Heimlock.
All right.
Well, I need a segment first. What am I coming on for?
Well, we don't. Just a second here. I need a Hulock.
For, well, TFC's playing tonight.
What is the, like, no. What is the likelihood that Ziggy actually lives up to this and calls in?
Ooh. I'm going to say 70-30 that he does not.
Does not.
Ooh. What do you give it?
I'm just here to host the show, man. If you phone in, I'll be happy to
Ziggy's
talk to
you. Ziggy's not calling the in tomorrow because he's going to be in surgery.
That's the best part is I'll still get chirped, and it's because I'm like, I'm not conscious. Like, that's how bad it is on the show is I could probably not do something and be unconscious, and I'll still get chirped.
Yeah, of course. Would you expect anything different from us?
To Kyle in Cambridge, who won the $100 McDonald's gift card, congratulations, and just remember.
It's not fast food. It's food fast.
Have a wonderful
I had the loop.
Have a wonderful hump day. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Leap in for Ziggy. Enjoy a good show.
How long does COVID live in beards?